I had a great experience in LA and coming back, and we talked about my parallel worlding, and I would like to have some input as to my next big parallel world experience.
Saturday morning, going to the market. It'll be pretty significant. You'll wake up late. That's your first anomaly. Mm-hmm. You'll be dashing to the gate, which won't be too unusual. Mm-hmm. Barbara Ann will be late, which isn't unusual. But then off you go. You'll notice that the temperature is a bit breezy, so you'll probably want a little jackety thing or something. Mm-hmm. But it'll be the wind like it is now. Will be like it is then, which is unusual that early in the morning because it's normally still, but it'll be breezy. You'll notice before you go to bed the night before two major earthquakes that are fresh. That's become a fun sidebar for you. Doing 100 things at a time, and you pop and say, okay, what's blowing up today? Mm-hmm. What's blowing up today? But just for fun, because you don't give it a minute. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not like it's moving you, but it's kind of like, that's interesting. You know, what mountains falling in the ocean, and, oh, you'll lose two glaciers. Also, when you lose two glaciers, you'll know you're there.
What do the two glaciers have to do with my world?
Nothing. They'll just be gone. You asked about your next world travel, right? Now, we're going to give you a few anomalies. Since you asked, you've never asked, so since you asked, here you go. Mm-hmm. In the world you're in now, it won't be this way. But in your parallel world, you'll break something. And you're not a big breaker of things. Now, Bob busts shit all the time, but you don't break things, typically. I mean, if you drop something, it doesn't break. But you'll break something, and you'll go, that's odd, I almost never break stuff. And then you always joke and say, well, I don't have much stuff, so breaking stuff is an anomaly. If I did much of that, I'd have nothing, you know? Because mm-hmm. it's not about hauling things home, you know, like J.W. does. But he has a bounty full, but he would just sit down and cry if he broke a piece of something. Yeah. He never break. He'd just get all tore up about it.
Right.
He would have abundance that wouldn't matter, you see. It's personal for him.
Right.
But that's an anomaly you'll notice. Then also, something you've been looking for in your repertoire, we would say it's a document, it's a paper, it's a research thing, it's something that gets misplaced mm-hmm. that you can't find here. That you do find there. It's under stuff on your little table that Bob keeps piling up with stuff. Oh, wait, sorry, didn't mean to mess it up, but when you find it there, you'll go, doody, 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 you know, the Twilight Zone theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Friday night, you'll have a dream about Rod Sterling that you'll remember. And what you'll remember is you'll hear Rod Sterling's voice. But do you remember the thing that spins around, looks like the whirlpool thing they used to use in the 50s when they were doing hypnosis and stuff, round and around? If you remember from the Rod Sterling show, it's like it keeps moving to the center,
mm-hmm.
the swirl.
Yes, yes.
All right, that's what you'll remember about your dream. Mm-hmm. And then you may have a dynamic of the dream that you seem like you're in, and it'll be odd because it'll be in black and white. Mm-hmm. Well, then when that comes into play, that'll be another syncing up that you typically would have these kind of dreams all the time, but you don't remember. That's why you're kind of drawn to the sci-fi world flicks, meaning they're enjoyable for you because they don't mean anything and they're drivel, but they're complex enough that your analytical mind can toy with it because
mm-hmm.
you're always trying to figure out if it was the butler with the pipe in the library. You know, the way your mind works, just like you do with your clients, working through every situation to figure out what the conclusion mm-hmm. within Occam's razor would best apply. Well, this one you will remember because when you get up, you'll be in a pretty big world jump. And all of your topic of conversation is can't this and can't that and can't this and can't that. To the point where you say, when we stop up here, could you hold on just a second so you can vomit, you know, because you just had enough of this stuff because you're so compassionate and loving and appreciative and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of like, damn, you know, how far is it to the market? Not being mean, because you don't have a mean bone in your body, but you know what I'm saying. It'll just be like, ugh, enough. Thank you for the offer. I'm so glad we had this time together to have a laugh and sing a song. That's the Carol Burnett theme song, all right? Oh, and you'll finally find the pistachios, because we were trying to tell you this before, and you said there weren't any pistachios, but that's because you weren't going to have pistachios either way. Well, this time you are, and you are. And when you see pistachios, then you'll go, they don't have pistachios. And Barbara Ann will say, well, of course they have pistachios. You get them every single week. What are you talking about? I can't just love pistachios. You just eat them all the time.
So is it the Barbara Ann in another world with me?
Well, how else would it be?
I guess so.
We didn't say. We said, how else would it be? We left it open because some of this has got to be your play. You know, because if we give you every dynamic, then you go, well, I found pistachios, but they were out of season, and it was outrageous, and they didn't look good. And then you're arguing for the limitation, and you don't do that because you're now to the stage where you've actually been convinced that that is your world, because that's what you asked for. Oh, a year and 11 days ago. So now you got it.
When you said you are now to the stage of being convinced that it is your world. Okay. So that gets to my other real question, which is way back when Ion said that I took my mother to another world to have me born. Is that world you're talking about?
Yep. It is. It is. Mm-hmm. And how in the world could you possibly have remembered that?
Well, you've given me memory training, I guess.
No, you've allowed and relaxed in the position that when you come into a place of endless impossibilities, you may find out a few things that are true. And if you don't believe that, it'll show up again and again and again and again and again. And it'll become symbolic of your wordology. Because you're finding yourself now all day, every day, pining the panderings of phatic words. Future health now.
Pandering the possibilities. Okay, so this world that I was born in, how did I do that, being a fetus and all?
Well, what do you mean how? You're more powerful at that state because you don't have anything to tell you that you're screwed up.
Why did I pull my mother into another world?
Your twin decided for you vicariously that it was indeed the fastest path to your joy.
Did that part of me that came from the guff know that I wanted to be born in the other world?
Yes.
So that was my desire to be born there.
The crossness of it was you were a fraternal twin. Remember we've covered this? Well, what does fraternal twin mean?
Two separate entities, not from the same egg.
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And that becomes an instant geminiacal duality or double crossness. Mm-hmm. Somebody's double crossed. Well, a Gemini twin is for sure double-crossed. You get duality, and then you have dual duality. So that's dual citizenship.
So she wanted to go to the other world?
No, you did. You did.
But she wanted to stay in this world, and I wanted to go to the other world.
Yes, correct.
So I won and killed her.
Absorbed her.
She wanted to stay in this world. Was there a reason I wanted to be born in the other world?
Yes. So you could find the solitude that you're trying to remember now. Rather than remain a tomboy, tree-climbing pyromaniac.
Well, that was pretty solitudinous.
Well, exactly. That's why you wanted, and that's what you got, and there you go.
So I kind of got in this world a bit, too.
Well, you now have found, with vast experience in parallel worlds, that you carry yourself with you most everywhere you go.
This other world, is that the main world I travel to?
No. Good gracious, no. You don't find the hankering to go start fires and climb trees anymore. You're quite alone with your little looky box. Sorry, I'm not available. You can email me.
So you're saying that Carolyn wanted to be solitudinous when she was born from the guff. She thought it'd be better done in the other world.
Well, she was just trying it out to see how it's going to be. And she's happy. I mean, Carolyn could be alone in 10,000 people in a room. Literally. And engage them. Not being rude, because she's not rude. She's not even mean.
So when I was in trees and lighting fires and being a tomboy, was I doing most of that in another world?
Yes, dear. That's where that was. And then the drowning thing came, and then you came home. Well, here. Why do you think was so special about that pond of water anyway?
Well, it was just the ocean. It was a seashore, harbor.
Well, darling, what is that? Big old pond.
Pond of water, okay.
So, what was so special about that anyway? And now you can recall it, every dynamic and detail regarding it.
Not really.
Well, really. Isn't that fun? Every other dynamic of your childhood, we've had to drag.
So is that why I'm not remembering anything about this world? Actually, when one of our clients was talking about his dream world, he said he couldn't remember most of his childhood. And I thought, oh, there I am.
Only his difference is he didn't care to. There is a difference.
Is there any point in me trying to remember?
You wouldn't, yes, dear. You wouldn't. It wouldn't be a deal breaker otherwise.
Okay, why can't you remember?
She's got the double duality Gemini curse. If you take your chocolate that you make, and you make a white chocolate one, and you stir them together, it's not now a vanilla chocolate thing, it becomes a whole other thing. You're chasing your tail. Now, we're being cheeky, so you understand what we're saying. Just like the Rod Sterling spiral thing with the black lines and the white lines that are spinning, but when you spin them just a certain way, the lines are blurred and it becomes shades of gray. You said that about 2 million times in your listening gaze. Shades of gray.
I want to know, what is the black and what is the white? Is the black
one is the absence of pigmentation, mm-hmm. and one is completeness of pigmentation. Because if you take every color that is and you paint it on top of each other, what do you get?
Black. So one is the absence of pigment and the other is the completion of pigment.
Mm-hmm.
And by the one and the one, you mean one world is the absence and the other world is the complete, or?
Don't confuse your question. You get tangled up into who, what, when, where, and how, and you engage it, and then you turn it around on yourself.
Right.
You just ask, what's the difference between black and white?
And then I'm trying to figure out what the analogy is, because you started this by saying you take chocolate and you take...
If you take and mix those together, you don't get either. You get a new thing.
So what are the two things that I'm mixing together to get gray?
Your old world and this world, and the lack of remembrance thereof. And it's not really remembrance, because you remember, but you enjoyed your parallel world experience, and you're now, you think that'd do it for you. No, now you're just getting greased up with it. It's like, hey, that was fun, let's do this again. So you said, when's the next great big one? And we tried to tell you that last week with the pistachios, but you weren't having that.
Right.
But that's okay. What you're going to find sooner or later, whether you want to or not, or get it or not, this non-physical thing that you're playing with, it's trying to tell you every single time. And when you start getting it literal, just as you have a client who's trying to tell you something, if you stop missing or start overlooking the obvious symptomatic words that the clients are using, you'll find yourself less and less and less effective. up turns into something that everybody resonates with. You mean you're supposed to move your bowels every day? What? Every day? Ooh. Well, that sounds silly, but that becomes one of your most favorite blogs. That's because you listened. Let us ask you a few questions since you've asked us questions. What is it about your life experience that engages you into a construct of piecing the puzzle that you've created up until now, which you, we acknowledge that, that's now all of a sudden moving you with compassion to try to put the jukes all back together again?
It seems the next logical step.
Okay, what about if it was 40 years in the desert and now you're coming into the promised land? That'd make a good reason, wouldn't it? This is an analogy. Moses got to the River Jordan and he didn't cross the Jordan River to go to the promised land. He led them to there, but he didn't go across. Your choice now is, do I want to hang and get rid of my mantle and stay here, or cross the River Jordan to the land of Canaan?
I want to cross the river.
Well, now, that's one of those pondering things of...
No, I've been thinking about it. I've decided.
That's up to you. No problem. It's all good. No problem. But now, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you this one more time, just for the record. Just so everybody knows, you chose. Because you see, it makes a very different dynamic once you're ascended in the land of milk and honey. Your mother used to say, be careful what you ask for, you may get it.
And so what are you trying to warn me of?
I'm not warning you a thing. You mark it this moment in this world that what you're asking for is delicious, wonderful, stupendously beyond your present gauge of bliss. But once you know, you can't go back and say, oh, I wish I didn't know that, or I want to unknow that.
Mm-hmm.
What we're telling you is what you're stepping into right this hot second, you can't unstep out of. Just so you know, because you're easy and happy about everything, for Pete's sake. I mean, they burn your house down, you say, well, that's nice, let's have a bigger one, or this one has a better view, or it wouldn't even bother you when other people would sit and be ripped out of the frame, and you'd be like, okay, no big deal, whatever, it's all good. So, fine. Now, that dynamic stated, it sort of ups the ante just a little bit. And that's okay, too. But now, if you notice as you're engaging, interacting with all these people, they start to show up out of the woodwork, and each one is kind of different and individual, and every single time they kind of find themselves in this anomalous place of question. Now, Bob, yes, you're right. Everybody can be that. But some people are in an easy place. Some people are in a more difficult place. They have askings, but some are easy things that they can embrace easy. And the other things are huge things, like finding out, like the one with the angel feathers in the box, that's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And had the evidentiary proof in their sightedness and didn't know it. Well, you'd think if somebody did that for you, you could remember it, wouldn't you? Well, what if we told you that there's little things in your world that it was about like that, not the same, but about like that, that you can't even remember.
I'm sure, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you not think it odd that when the woman gave you the stone and then swapped it for the other one, that would be very clear in your moment of recollection? Do you not find it odd that you say you don't have any crystals and the next thing you know that you had all these crystals? Do you not find it odd that you're drawn to these certain kind of things? That something can get lost and gone eternally, then you can walk in and just lay your hands on it immediately?
Mm-hmm.
When you didn't know where it was the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Even when Bob put it away and he didn't know what it was and it was supposed to be there and it was remember what you were talking about because he didn't know, and you had no way of knowing any way at all about it, and then all of a sudden you could walk in, open the closet, and put your hand right on it? Well, I mean, we're just being clear because you asked for that because you said you're good and you know and you want to know, and here we go. What you're going to find is as you step through this process, who, what, when, where, and how will leave your vernacular. Because if you don't know, that means you don't want to. And if you do know, you don't have to ask. So it takes the heat off of the press version of overlaying. The press. Because, see, Bob's baby's created this mess, and Lord mercy, it's been quite a sight. But it's okay. We're not pushing against it. There's very little we push against other than science itself. But no way we're being cheeky. But and need and time. And there's just a handful of little things that we just won't have. But other than that, we're jiggy with most everything.
Right.
But the serious issue is this full out will become a word. Fullout. Okay. Not fall out, full out. That's not a word, but it is now. Full out, that means all the way in and all the way out. Then we find it interesting, people that question their orientation, they say they're in the closet and then one day they decide to come out. That's silly. I mean, what sense does that make? But now coming out used to be a ball that the debutantes did. Their coming out party.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's a way for latent homosexuals to decide whether they are or not. So if they're homosexual and in the closet, does that mean they're not yet? The point of that is when you go full out, you can't go back. You don't want to. But we're saying just be clear. Because then what happens when you get full out, you don't have to wait for the waters to be troubled in order to receive your wholeness. Remember with the story, you don't know the story in the Bible where the man couldn't get himself in the water when it was being troubled. Yeah. And then he called and had somebody help him.
Yeah.
Then that because he couldn't do it himself. So that made him less than because every time he'd get in it, the waters would quit being troubled. Just like in the temple of your mystery island. All right. Now, the dynamic of your world of understanding of medicine now changes completely. It sort of kind of has been done already, but now you can't go back.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start looking at, do you remember the cathode and the diode and dealing with compounding, which we've asked you about? Oh, this is now the 97th time, and you can't get coal tar, and you can't do this, and you don't have access to that, and you're not having this, and you're not having that, and you don't have the little papers, you know, that you do the compounding on, and the little peanut butter offset spatula to smear it around, and you just ain't having it. And we go, okay. And we weren't suggesting that you take up compounding. We were trying to get you to the place where you're going to go there and going to decide. You could go back and say, wait, I've been on my way all along.
What is the compounding about?
The new medicine that you're fixing to produce.
All right. Okay.
But if you ain't having compounding, then you ain't having new medicine.
I see.
And then Bob says, Ion, you son of a bitch. You son of a non-physical bitch. How dare you withhold that information? And we go, you're right, Bob. We're so sorry. We've only told you 97 times. Sorry. Maybe it was the 98th time that's the magic ticker.
I think so.
And then 22 squared and the cubed root of 22 is something on Bob's chart.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you see, we are. That's the thing. Just because you don't get it right then, that's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're telling you now is, it is. And what we're telling you now is.
Yeah.
It is. Now, this becomes a bit radical. And you've had a little taste of radical medicine already.
Mm-hmm.
But now you take on the complete dynamic that six-pack Chopra can't quite get beyond, that the homeopathist can't quite engage, the Mayo Clinic can't completely wrap themselves around the science regarding. They're all over it, but nowhere. They're close, and if you were playing horseshoes or hand grenades, they might beat you at it.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the ringer every time.
Mm-hmm.
Lactated or otherwise.